"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome, everybody. John has the list of words for this afternoon, but he's not going to reveal them. They're going to come up for your chance at $1,000 at 120 and 320. KFI's inflation compensation contest continues here on the mighty KFI. We're going to start the show with the number zero. Zero is the number of listeners who picked Richard Reardon to pass away in the year 2023 in our Ghoul Pool contest. He died last night at the age of 92. For those of you who believe we never say anything good about any politician ever, well, you're going to hear something good.
He was the best mayor Los Angeles has had in everybody's lifetime.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if there's a lot of Tom Bradley fans.
Well,
he was there for 20 years.
Well, when Reardon took over...
There's stuff named after him everywhere.
Yeah, but when Reardon took over, the place had gone to hell. The riots had just happened.
And, yes, it was ugly in 1993.
It was. And he was very similar to Rick Caruso. He was a venture capitalist. He was a business guy. And he wanted to... He just like used his eyes. He looked around and saw what L.A. had become in 1992, and said, well, we got to fix this. Let's do whatever the rational thing is to fix. And it worked. It just simply worked. Well, of course it worked. When you do the right things, and it's not hard to figure out what the right things are, then you're going to have a better life.
This is why we supported Rick Caruso, because we were thinking maybe we're going to get the second coming of Richard Reardon and somebody who can make a dent in all the problems L.A. has today and the crap left over after 9 years of Garcetti and before that, Tony Villar. Good God. James Hahn. Do I have to go through the horrible mayors that have been around since?
No, well, he was the last good one, and his term finished in 2001.
2001.
So it's been 22 years of bad mayors, like appallingly, astonishingly bad mayors, destructive
and
bad mayors.
For the most part, the El Segundo Times writer who did the story, a Gene Merle, it was mostly positive. Well, by the time he departed office, 8 years after he took office, much of his vision for a cleaner, safer, better functioning city had been realized. Crime was down, the local economy had rebounded, and although the LAPD remained short of its goals, it had grown to a record number of officers.
How about that? And even the El Segundo socialist, communist, propaganda Pravda Times couldn't find anything bad to say about Dick Reardon. What does that tell you?
No.
And the guy, you know what? He was a Republican, a businessman, a white guy. And even the LA Times couldn't find anything bad to say, because if you were here during the 90s, the city was booming and it was clean. The only vagrants were the ones confined to Skid Row, nowhere else. Crime went way down. Also, three strikes got passed in the state, so the bad guys were put in prison where they couldn't harm anybody.
Yeah, we got help on that.
Yeah.
But, and of course, you told this story for years. I'm surprised it didn't pop out of your mouth quickly. All he did after the Northridge earthquake to rebuild the Santa Monica Freeway, how he got things done really quickly. It says here he immediately set up an emergency command center at his office at City Hall and went right to work on how to make sure the city came back from the Northridge earthquake of 1994.
Yeah. And again, with Pete Wilson, who was the governor at the time, they gave construction incentives to the companies that had to rebuild Interstate 10 and got it done in just a few months. I mean, the whole freeway had collapsed. It collapsed and crumbled, and it was built in just a few months. And the contractors walked away with a big bonus. That's what you do when you govern successfully. There were no delays. There was no dithering around. There were no stupid side social issues that they got hung up and distracted by. They simply, everybody went to work and you know, laid down the concrete and the asphalt and rebuilt the thing.
That's what you get when you get a businessman as mayor, because they roll up their sleeves and say, all right, particularly in a problem like that, if that's about bureaucracy and building something, everybody's in favor of rebuilding the freeway. So how can I get the fastest and best way to do this? And that's what he found. And whereas you could see somebody like Garcetti dithering over, let's make sure contracts are fair and equitable and our friends get the contracts and let's not rush into this and blah, 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 blah. Well, that's the kind of politicians we have today.
And, you know, he told the truth. He called city employees brain-dead bureaucrats. Imagine? Brain-dead bureaucrats. He was right.
And I love this. It said he was often at odds with the city council. To that, I say, great. And who it mentions? Mark Ridley Thomas.
I know. Ridley Thomas.
And good old Rita Walters. I remember her.
Ridley Thomas was a pain-in-the-ass impediment even then.
30 years ago.
Getting in the way of progress. Getting in the way of making Los Angeles function. Oh, yeah. God. And so he also, it said he positioned himself as battling a dithering wrong-headed city council. That's what they've always been. They've always been dithering and wrong-headed.
As long as we've been here covering them, they just get one to replace another. Now we've got, you know, a segment of the city council that's completely like communist socialist. But back then it used to be just blathering idiots like Zev Yaroslavsky and Mark Ridley Thomas.
He bulldozed them and bulldozed the city employees. And I mean, Los Angeles was a waste zone downtown. I mean, he laid the groundwork for Los Angeles's downtown to blossom into something spectacular. Yeah. The Staples Center got built during that time.
Right.
And, you know, all those restaurants and the condos that went up and then the business revival down there. But then, you know, 20 years of garbage mayors, and now we're back to even 92 wasn't this bad after the riot.
No.
This is the worst it's ever been.
After he left office, he made a couple of attempts at governor. And, of course, he lost to your friend Bill Simon in the primary.
Yeah, because Republicans get hung up on social issues. And Reardon was pro-choice.
No.
And that's what destroyed the Republican Party in California. They got hung up on social issues instead of pushing how they're business-oriented, they're competent, they can make daily life better. Everything became about, you know, that's where the Democrats' weak spot is woke stuff. The Republicans' weak issues are when you get into gay rights and abortion and all that other nonsense. Guns. It's like just govern the city properly. Make this a safe, prosperous environment. That's your job. These social causes on both sides make me just want to punch people. Shut up.
We still heard from him years after he got involved in some of the elections. The one thing we'll forgive him for is a number of years ago, we were looking at a candidate for mayor. He brought Bob Hertzberg into the studio and was promoting him for
well,
no bail Bob.
You know, but
now Hertzberg, he lost his L.A. County supervisor bid.
Hertzberg changed over the years, and he caught the woke virus. The woke virus is a terrible infection when it gets in your brain. Yeah. And a number of people who were fairly normal, or at least on the outer edges of normal, you know, caught the infection and went insane and started coming up with nonsensical ideas like, how about no bail for all the criminals? Oh, yeah, good idea, Bob. Excellent. That'll make life better.
Yeah, Reardon was married 4 times. Yeah, that's pretty active. One of his wives did pass away, but
he was a good guy. I met him a few times, a few times on the air. We interviewed him.
He had energy. He was a
smart guy. He was really smart.
And I think he knew if he disagreed with us, he didn't talk about it. He wanted to stick to the things that we had in common to talk about.
And he was very genial to deal with. But when he
came in that day, the topic with Hertzberg, that was traffic. He was like, you know, this is the guy that's going to do something about heart-wrenching traffic in Los Angeles.
Yes, that's right. I remember that. And that was like common sense issue that would make life better for people. Not getting rid of bail. It was not carrying on about transgender rights. This was about, hey, traffic sucks. We got a way to maybe ease things up a bit. That's what I want to hear. That's what most people want to hear. But I met him a couple of times outside the station, too. And he was very warm and friendly, although he was really tough on the inside, from what I understand.
The original pantry.
Is that still around?
It is. I go there every now and then, and their 100-year anniversary is coming up next year. They opened in 1924, and of course, their mantra was, we never close, which was true until the pandemic.
Right.
The pandemic got them, and they were closed a couple of days a week, and they were doing takeout, and then eventually when they reopened, they cut their hours. But great place. I mean, it's a greasy spoon, but it is delicious.
In the best sense.
It's a tourist institution. Best pancakes I've ever had anywhere in my life. If you like pancakes, wow.
Closes at 3, what, p.m. or a.m.?
P.m.
3 p.m.
Yeah,
it closes?
Yeah, it's pretty much a breakfast lunch place now. Mm. Yeah. All right, we got more coming up. As soon as we return, and from what I understand, it'll be pretty quick, so stand by. You'll get a keyword for your chance to win some money, the KFI Inflation Compensation Contest. We're John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4. After 4 o'clock, join the horde, the mob, the swarm, that listens to the show on the iHeart app.
Did you call people whores?
Hordes.
Oh, okay, hordes.
Hordes, like large groups.
The large groups, right.
Yes.
John and Ken mob members from the old days.
Sure. And yes, I'll get to the money. Hold on. I'm pushing a podcast.
He's a nag,
right,
isn't he?
Yes, you are a nag. This comes first.
He thought you forgot.
Self-promotion comes
first. I'm here
to
remind you if you did, so. But he's right.
Everybody wants to tell me what to do constantly.
I know.
24 hours a day.
It's so hard being you.
It is hard being me. Can't have an independent thought, independent action. Anyway, listen to the show on the podcast after 4 o'clock, John and Ken on Demand.
All right, now, people can win some money, right?
Yeah. All right, now do your thing.
All right, making news this afternoon, and honestly, it's just a shame. It was back in October of 2021 when a woman on a movie set, a movie called Rust, starring Alec Baldwin, her name is Helena Hutchins, she died from a gunshot wound. Alec Baldwin was the man holding the gun. It was a Western they were filming, and it was completely, from all reports, shoddy safekeeping when it comes to the weapons and the bullets on the entire movie set. This happened in New Mexico. He was charged in late January with 2 counts of involuntary manslaughter in the shooting death, but that got watered down 2 months ago. They downgraded felony penalties against him and the armor in the shooting. That was this woman, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, who apparently was out there for the first time in a major film shoot. And she was also responsible for the shoddy keeping of the weapons and everything. So the news this afternoon is that all charges are gone. But there you go.
What provoked this? What, she didn't die? He didn't pull the trigger? The bullet didn't leave his gun and hit
her body? Lawsuits, and they paid up in lawsuits, but criminal charges are gone.
He deserved prison. That's not a crime?
No.
But you point a loaded gun at somebody and pull the trigger and they die right in front of you and there's no crime?
No.
Wow. Well, then why'd they make such a big deal about charging him? I mean, it took, a year?
It did, right.
So they take a whole year of an investigation, then they dramatically announce charges, and then a few months later, it's, never mind. Well, what changed? Was she not dead? Did he not pull the trigger? Was somebody else?
The DA on the case also left. That happened in March. She just outright quit.
There's not another DA?
Well,
is there another lawyer in New Mexico or no? Were they the last one?
It just says that it was a shoddily put together case from the beginning. They just didn't have it.
Shoddily put together?
Meaning it was not going to work, they thought, at trial. So they just decided to give up.
He pulled the trigger. The bullet hit the woman.
Yeah.
Well, what else do you need to know?
No. Apparently that was a decision.
You don't even have to put together a case. He pulled the trigger. She's dead. That's the end of the case.
So originally, they could have faced like a year or two in jail or prison, and then that got taken away when it got reduced to another lower charge. So
somebody get paid off here?
Any jail time.
Somebody,
I doubt it. I don't know. I just think it's a...
I don't doubt anything anymore.
No, you don't. You don't.
Oh,
all right, now we turn our attention to the homeless camp that is getting a lot of attention in the Beverly Grove neighborhood of Los Angeles. We've talked about this a few times, and it's because people there are noticing things like a naked lady who apparently likes to sleep on a couch nearby. So one of the people in the story that we've talked about is the city council member responsible for that area. She's brand new, Katie Yaroslavsky. She is the daughter-in-law of Zev Yaroslavsky. And for the first time, other than a statement, I think we're going to hear her speak. Anyway, we have a report.
Oh, yeah. You got to listen to this. There's so much horse manure in this story.
KCAL News reporter Tom Waite reports on the homeless encampment and all that goes with it.
It is heartbreaking because I sympathize with the people who are living out here like this.
It's the homeless crisis on full display along San Vicente near the Beverly Center. Kathy, who asked that we not use her last name, works in this area. She offered this sobering assessment of what we see here.
To know that our children are walking down the street looking at this. This is the country that they're growing up in. They have to be thinking, is this what I'm going to go through? Am I going to be homeless?
We first told you about this encampment last week. What was a few tents began to grow quickly. Located in Beverly Grove, it's Katie Yaroslavsky's district, just across the street from Beverly Hills.
The main pinch point right now for me and my team and the mayor's team is the lack of access to beds. And we simply don't have interim beds on the west side and certainly not in Council District 5.
You're a liar.
We work to bring those beds online quickly, we're looking at more quick-to-scale options like motels.
Yaroslavsky is also questioning whether the city's anti-camping ordinance, known as 4118, is really effective. Council members have ordered an evaluation.
Instead of seeing larger encampments near freeway underpasses or alleyways or whatever, you saw one or two tents all over the place because people were scattering due to 4118. And so it really does have to be paired with credible offers of housing.
Meanwhile, state legislators are questioning the approach to funding outreach on the homeless crisis. A bipartisan effort is underway to audit how billions are being spent on housing and treatment.
For the first time in the history of the state of California, we've put out $15 billion at a time. Is it just that the money's slow? Is our decisions being made that it go somewhere else? There's way more questions that most legislators have right now.
So for now, the crisis persists and solutions are far from simple.
They need help. They should not be out here.
Councilmember Yaroslavsky says outreach teams from the mayor's office and her office are out here daily. She says she hopes to find beds for the people in this encampment in the next 2 weeks.
Sometimes TV news reports, it's either the obvious or the outrageous, right? And it was a mix of both in there from people like, oh, this is sad and terrible. They need help.
Yeah.
Katie Yaroslavsky, who's claiming there's no beds. Now, she did sort of narrow that down by saying in my district there.
Well, why do they have to be in her district?
They do not. You are exactly
That's
right.
That's garbage. These are not natives from the district.
They are not part of the community, even though this crowd likes to call them the unhoused of our community.
You know, if that's how she's conducting the cleanup and finding housing, then she's incompetent. She's an incompetent fool. They don't have to be in the district.
Didn't we find out from Steve Gregory, KFI News, that there was lots of beds in the county available?
Yes. Andy
but
Bell
just because
said
there's
so.
Not a few near the Beverly Center, well, in the Beverly Grove neighborhood, then there's nothing we can do? Get out of here.
They don't have citizenship in Beverly Grove.
Put them on a bus and take them anywhere where they're going to be inside.
Most of them wandered from out of state and out of the city, okay? Beverly Hills, these aren't people who couldn't afford the rent in Beverly Hills or in Hancock Park. These are people who can't afford.
They're not displaced billionaires?
Yeah, they're not former executives at Bloomingdale's at the Beverly Center. All right? This is not their neighborhood. This is not where they grew up. This is where they passed out, where they made like 500 bad decisions in their life, and they ended up on San Vicente Boulevard in a tent, stoned, or whacked out on meth. What is she nuts? There are beds. Andy Bales from the Union Mission told the Los Angeles Times that in a story just a couple of weeks ago, how many empty units there are.
Now.
And then they get this state representative, what was his, Dave Cortese?
Yes, right.
Well, billions and billions of dollars we've spent. What do you mean there's no space? No temporary space? Really? No beds? This is why if we had Caruso, what was he going to do? He was going to build like FEMA-like units with 30,000 beds within a year. And the thing is, I don't care if they don't like it. That would force the city to take them off the street. You make an offer of a bed, the homeless vagrant has to go. And didn't Karen Bass say it was a myth that people didn't want the help? If they've outreached already to all these people, as Yaroslavsky claims, then if why didn't they accept the outreach?
She's making stuff up.
She's lying. So she stands there and lies. And what's with the reporter, Tom Waite? Don't you understand that they're all lying to you? Reporting everybody's lies is not reporting. Reporting everybody's lies is not journalism. It doesn't inform us. It doesn't help anything. You're just passing along lies. We might as well talk to their PR agents.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. On sale now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating melon serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty system for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
App.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, and tomorrow we're going to be back with the Moist Line calls, so you can still be a part of it. Drop a message using the iHeartRadio app, the microphone icon, or call this easy toll-free number. Easy because it's easy to remember. 1-877-MOIST-86. 1-877-664-7886. Well, we were just talking about the homeless encampment that's gotten a lot of attention in the last couple of weeks in the Beverly Grove neighborhood of Los Angeles near the Beverly Center, so close to Beverly Hills that that's why it's getting a lot of attention. And plus, there was a naked lady on a couch, at least for a couple of days in the story. Don't know if she's still there. Meanwhile,
got
UCLA...
a bad sunburn.
What's that?
She's got a bad sunburn.
No. UCLA released a survey about what worries LA County residents, some of it's nonsense, but one good section was on homelessness. And of course, the first part is people are worried that they're going to fall into homelessness. But this part, almost three quarters of residents, 73% said their quality of life has been impacted in the last year by a particular homeless encampment. Can you believe that? I guess you can, considering all that we've talked about the last several years. But
yeah, and
a particular homeless encampment is affecting their quality of life.
And so here's
I saw that and I was mayor, I'd be like, oh my God, what a horrendous place we've got here.
Right. And this is
a major impact was reported by 43%.
Yeah. This is the legacy of Garcetti. This is Garcettiville.
Oh, he let it get completely dirty.
Yeah. I mean, just reading about Reardon. There wasn't one word about homelessness in the obituary on Reardon in the Times today. It was not one word. It wasn't even an issue. Nobody ever brought it up.
No, it wasn't even a big issue really during Tony Villar's time.
No, it wasn't.
I remember with Garcetti, it started with garbage. I still remember this. Like 5 years ago, we started noticing a lot of garbage. And that to me is that broken window theory.
Yeah.
Once you start tolerating all the garbage, people are dumping garbage everywhere.
Right.
Homeless were dumping garbage. And then because of Prop 47, the homeless just, it blew up that problem.
And then he told the police not to interfere with the drug addicted vagrants and mental patients in the street.
Right.
There was a thing in Reason magazine just this week I found, and it was comparing how other states do way better dealing with homeless than LA, and it's been 3 years after they passed Prop HHH. It's been more than 3 years now, but at the 3 year mark, the city had completed just 1% of the promised 10,000 units. Costing between $500,000 and $800,000 each. And they had a quote from Andy Bales in this, the Union Rescue Mission CEO. And he had said a few years ago that some of my counterparts who depend on the proposition money, they're afraid to speak the truth. They can't speak the truth. Otherwise, they would get in great difficulty and be defunded. I think pride and arrogance is holding us back from doing some of the needed things that we need to do to immediately solve this issue. And that would be building temporary housing. There's no excuse that they haven't built temporary housing. They could get thousands and thousands of people off the street quickly. They simply refuse to do it. And it's been going on for years.
Because now the push is permanent supportive housing.
But they can't build it.
They can't.
They haven't. And it's extremely expensive.
The Skid Row housing thing downtown, the 29 buildings is supposed to be that, and that's a catastrophe.
And
so
the ones we had are being destroyed by the homeless that they put inside. 29 buildings destroyed. So we're going backwards now. We're now losing units.
Now, meanwhile, dippity-doo, Gavin Newsom showed up yesterday in San Francisco along with the Attorney General Rob Bonta to walk around the Tenderloin neighborhood. We've talked about that. That's like drug overdose central, probably in all of California.
They set up like a heroin site, a public heroin injection site.
Here is the story.
Good idea.
From CBS Bay Area reporter Andrea Nakano.
J.J. Smith is on these streets every day talking to those that are homeless and addicted to drugs. Today, he had a chance to meet with Governor Newsom and ask him a question. He just didn't get the answer he was hoping for.
Hey, Gavin, tell me what you gonna do about the fentanyl epidemic.
That's J.J. Smith shouting out the question as Governor Gavin Newsom walked the streets of the Tenderloin. He says the governor told him he's working on the issue now.
I feel as though his response wasn't a response that, it wasn't no answer to my question. Because if you came out here to see about it and to work on it, you would speak to the people that actually see what's going on.
Smith documents the hard realities of the fentanyl crisis, from the overdoses and deaths, but he also shares stories of hope, addicts that have taken the step to get help.
The first step is actually speaking to them, trying to become their friend. Once you become their friend and then they trust you, then you can start offering them those things that I offer them, like getting treatment, going to rehab. It's just that you got to build a relationship with them. In order to build a relationship with them, you got to get out there and speak to them.
Businesses like Golden Gate Rides in the Tenderloin welcomes any effort to solve the crisis on the streets.
I think everybody sees it on TV, but to actually feel it is a little different.
Owner Big Yankira Lola says business has slightly improved of late, but knows more can be done to bring customers into his store.
Hi guys, come on in. How was it?
He hopes the governor will have more concrete solutions after his visit.
I think if you see the ground reality, yeah, I think it helps, you know, to see what it's like to live and walk around here. Mm-hmm. I think that helps. You know, it's a step in the right direction.
The governor's office says the state has spent more than $1 billion to tackle the fentanyl and opioid crisis.
Oh, really?
But J.J. Smith wonders where that money
it
is going.
It didn't do any good.
I told Gavin, look, man, people out here on the streets, some are suffering. They're dying. Some are also losing their mind and parts of their body. It's like some way we all have to come together and give in and seeing what is a better solution that's going to fix this problem that has created.
The governor has pledged to spend nearly $100 million more to fight fentanyl, with a focus on getting Narcan into communities to combat overdoses.
What? That's his answer.
Smith feels it's another measure that's not getting to the root of the problem.
Yeah. Narcan is not going to end the addiction.
That's his answer, right.
A few hours later, they'll take another hit of fentanyl, and they're gonna die.
No, I told you. This is this stupid idea that we can't get these people off the drugs. We'll just try to make sure they don't die.
You have to.
That's it. That's how they manage it.
You have to lock them up in treatment centers. And a lot of this stuff, and it's true, you can't get off the addiction. But you have, if you want to try, you got to lock them up in treatment centers. You have to force them in. He's never going to answer that question. There's nothing he wants to do. He doesn't care. It's not like he doesn't know what's going on. He's been governor 4.5 years. He was lieutenant governor for 8 years before that. He was the mayor of San Francisco for 8 years before that. He knows.
Here is the audio of that man you heard in that news report, whose name is J.J. Smith. Here is his Twitter video of his encounter with Newsom.
Hey, Gavin, tell me what you're going to do about the fentanyl epidemic. Please, my name is J.J. Smith.
What should I do,
J.J.? And I
want to
know,
what
you going to do about the fentanyl epidemic?
I need you to tell me what we need to do.
I need you to tell me what we need to do. That's Newsom for you.
He does. He might be.
And then he told the reporter, yeah, we're just going to spend more money on Narcan. That's it.
It's what a complete
nice
failure.
Photo op to walk around the drug-addled neighborhood of San Francisco and say that crap.
He tells the guy, well, I need you to tell me. What a snarky jerk, huh?
That was snarky. He didn't like somebody shouting out questions at him, so he just tried to be nasty and say, what do you think I should do?
Oh, yeah, JJ's the problem, right?
Yeah.
Like, JJ's got the power and the money. Oh, we spent $1 billion. Well, it disappeared. It went to all those fake, phony, corrupt nonprofits who don't get anybody off the street, who don't cure anybody's addiction. Narcan. Narcan keeps you from dying in the moment. You know, 2 or 3 hours later, they're going to take another hit of fentanyl.
There's the other problem is the legislature won't do anything about fentanyl. We talked about that yesterday. We have an update on that in the 3 o'clock hour today.
I told you this yesterday. They'd like these people to die, because if all the people died, it would take the issue off the table, right?
Well, it would help global warming.
And these are mostly minorities, too. So Gavin Newsom would like all the minority drug addicts in San Francisco to die so he doesn't have to deal with this issue anymore. Because he has the slightest idea. He doesn't want to do anything.
All right, stand by. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 2 o'clock, Blake Trolley will come back on the show, KFI News reporter, with an update on what unfolded horribly up there in Thousand Oaks, the Westlake High School students that were run over by what appears to be a homeless man who was living out of his car, who not too long before that had stabbed an employee at a Walmart in Simi Valley. A crazy story that unfolded Tuesday afternoon. A 15-year-old boy died. A couple of other teenage girls, one of them in critical condition. There's a few more things to the story to get to, and we'll talk to Blake after the news, coming up at 2 o'clock. Well, we know that on occasion, John Cobalt brings a present for Deborah Mark to the studio. On occasion, but not lately.
It's a present that makes
He did, actually. I think earlier this week he did.
In-N-Out fries, right?
Delicious. Yep.
Yeah. Well, in the news, it's not In-N-Out fries, but it's McDonald's fries, which have been long enjoyed by many people. I remember people were claiming that they were the best. Then there was a time, I forget what year, people said they kind of rejiggered their formula for making the fries, and they didn't think they were quite what they used to be, but they were like when people talked about fast food fries.
I always thought they had the best fries.
McDonald's?
Yeah.
I'm thinking way back.
I almost never go there. But my memory was that they were the best.
Right. No, the other day I went to In-N-Out. And I did remember to order the fries well done. Mm. That's the way to go. Mm,
yes, well done.
They come out crispy.
I do like them well done.
Do you want me to do that?
It's like extra oil, though, Deborah.
Said something. I didn't.
No, they're fine. But now that Ken has mentioned it, I do like extra crispy.
Bring her all these French fries, and now
I wasn't complaining. They were just fine.
I'm surprised she likes them because sometimes by the time you get them to the station, I don't know how long it takes you, John, but they can get like cold. And
she eats them cold all afternoon.
I do.
Oh, she does. See, I do
because
like
I'm starving. Beggars can't be choosers, you know.
She doesn't even get to them for an hour.
You're starving because you only eat plants.
Okay.
Oh boy. So the thing we made clear is that they are supposedly the In-N-Out fries cooked in vegetable oil.
Yes.
Well, the thing that's making the news about McDonald's is there's a TikTok creator who apparently is a fast food influencer. Wants people to know, and apparently McDonald's has admitted this, that their fries, there's some beef fat in there.
Yep. That's why I don't eat them.
Because beef fat is one of the best flavors in the world.
God. No.
Apparently, probably some people didn't know this. The influencer revealed it on TikTok, and it got quite a reaction.
Everything
just wants vegetarians and vegans to know.
I stopped eating McDonald's French fries a gazillion years ago when I found out about that. And yeah, they are good, but when you find out about that, no thank you.
Everything should be made in beef fat. Pancakes ought to be...
Pancakes?
Pancakes and beef fat.
Yuck. Beef fat is good. Ugh. Yeah, it's citrus. The old pan drippings, as they call them. But if your mother would make a roast and there was the pan drippings at the bottom...
Oh, yeah. And drain
you
them
turn
in,
that into a gravy, usually.
Drain
that's
them into a glass and drink it.
That's why people love gravy. It's a big ingredient of many gravies, either chicken fat or beef fat.
Yeah.
Roll it around.
Yeah, gravy is liquefied fat.
But you know what? The In-N-Out fries are good, but the vegetable oil, I don't have any
exactly. So McDonald's, this is what I don't understand. McDonald's, get rid of the beef fat, go to vegetable oil, and I bet you nobody will tell the difference.
See, they put on their website that, yes, our suppliers partially fry our cut potatoes. They use an oil blend that contains beef flavoring. This ensures the great tasting and recognizable flavor we all love from our world-famous fries.
That's why McDonald's...
So they're agreeing with John, saying that's what's made them unique.
Okay, then fine. You're not going to have vegans and vegetarians eating them.
Well, I don't think that's a big loss.
Really. I think they have bigger problems than the beef flavoring in the fries. Has any of those alternate meals ever stuck at McDonald's? Every once in a while, they try these experimental dishes trying to appease the loony fringe.
Now, what, you're talking about Beyond Meat or stuff like that?
I, I,
I don't know.
They've had salads there before. I mean, I haven't gone to McDonald's in a million years.
See,
I don't know.
That's what I mean. There's no point in trying to appease you because you don't go there anyway.
Well, I'm not a big fast food eater.
I went there a few weeks ago, and man, the thing now still is the damn chicken sandwich. It's just everybody's got a chicken sandwich. It's everywhere. This craze started a few years ago. Remember, Popeyes had people lining up around the street to get their chicken sandwich, and it's still just taken off. I love this part, though. Notable ingredients in the brand's fries include, of course, potatoes, a vegetable oil made from canola, corn, and soybean oil, dextrose, which is a sugar substitute, and sodium acid pyrophosphate, an inorganic salt used for color maintenance.
Oh. There you go. That sodium phosphate tastes great.
John
McDonald's has the best sodium phosphate.
All right, when we come back, we'll be talking again to Blake Trolley, who's been covering this story all over for KFI News. And that, of course, is the man that apparently went on a rampage after he stabbed a worker at a Walmart in Simi Valley, drove home, got into some sort of fight with the family in Camarillo, then took off and ended up in Thousand Oaks, where he ran over some Westlake High School students, killing one and injuring several others. We'll talk more. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
I'll get him well done next time.
Thank you, John.
Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.